The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 26, verses 16 to 18. Allow me to read the words. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Amen. Paul is now defending himself at the hearing convened by Governor Festus at the request of King Agrippa. For Paul, defending himself meant witnessing the Lord. At the hearing, he's testifying about how he, who had once denied Jesus and trampled on the church, came to be called by Jesus. Paul, a young man, was on his way to Damascus, which was no less than 213 kilometers away, to root out Christians. Jesus appeared to young Paul as a bright light, which was brighter than the noonday sun. Because of this light, Paul and his companions all fell to the ground. Among them, Jesus specifically zeroed in on Paul and called him by his name Saul, which was his name back then. And the first command that Jesus gave to young Paul, who was on the ground, was to get up and stand on your feet. Jesus was not telling him to get up in order to continue his old life of trampling on the church. It was a command to start a new life where Paul would live as an instrument of Jesus to save people who are shut up under the burdens of sin, lust, darkness, and death. The moment young Paul fell to the ground, captivated by the light of Jesus, his old self died in Jesus. And from the moment he got up and stood on his feet, relying on the command of Jesus, new present and new future were given to him by Jesus. As a result, all of Paul's past, which could have faded away without any meaning, took on new meaning in the context of the new present and the new future that were given to him. Because he had so zealously denied Jesus, he was able to live all the more zealously for Jesus, who saved him, so much so that he was willing to give his life if it were for Jesus. In this way, Paul's past, present, and future came together without being disconnected in the grace of Jesus. And as a result, he could become the great apostle that we know him to be from the Bible. And today's text tells us in concrete details the new present and future given to Paul. In other words, the new life that he will come to live in Jesus. This is verse 16. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. Jesus called Paul in order to make him his servant and his witness. The Hellenic noun, hyperetes, which has been translated as servant, refers to a slave who rows at the bottom of a ship. Hyperetes does not know which way the ship for which he's rowing is headed. He has no power to make any decision. He only rose the best of his strength and his will according to the beat of the drum being beaten by the drummer. It is completely up to the captain to decide where the boat will be headed, how fast it will go, and where it will stop. Paul was called as such hyperetes by Jesus. And the Greek noun martas, which has been translated as witness, derives from the Latin word martyr. A witness is someone who places his life on his testimony. These days, the problem of false testimony at a court or a public hearing is becoming an issue. A false testimony is a lie that tries to hide the truth. It cannot be a testimony of a witness. If a witness is someone who hangs his life on the truth that he or she knows, the witness cannot give a false testimony under any circumstance. Paul was called as a martyr who must stake his life in witnessing what he has seen and will see of the Lord. After that, Paul lived his entire life as a hyperetes and as a martyr for Jesus. With all his will, he entrusted himself to the leading of Jesus, and in order to live as a hyperetes and as a martyr for Jesus, he staked his life. This is because he knew that Jesus was the resurrected Messiah who died as an offering on the cross in order to pay for his sins and lived again in 3 days, destroying the power of death. To entrust his life to such Messiah and to live as his hyperetes and as a martyr, following the leading of Jesus and staking his life to do so, this was to vest his life with eternal meaning and value. Jesus, after making Paul stand up again, continued to speak to him as follows. This is verse 17. I will rescue you from your own people and from Gentiles. I am sending you to them. Israelites and the Gentiles include all persons in this world. The reason that Jesus saved Paul, who was trampling on the church before saving anybody else, was not to let Paul live merrily in the world. He was to send Paul as his hyperetes and as martyrs to others in the world. We have received the grace of salvation from Jesus before other people have. If we try to live only for our well-being this year, our life will shrivel away meaninglessly for the span of that 1 year. But regardless of what we do this year, if we live as hyperetes and martyrs for Jesus, this 1 year, the span of 1 year, will not fade away but will accumulate in us in the form of valuable life experiences and faith experiences. Let's look at verse 18. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. The reason Jesus sends Paul to others in the world as his hyperetes and martyrs is to enable them to open their eyes. the people could not see that they were, they lived in darkness, but they were not even, they were not aware of the fact that they were shut up in darkness. They were living under the shackles of Satan, but they were not aware that they were slaves to Satan. Therefore, God sent Paul to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Only if a person shut up in darkness opens his or her eyes and see the light, can that person see the darkness that had shackled him or her. Only if a person who is bound by the fetters of Satan open his or her eyes and see God, can that person know he or she has been a slave of Satan. Now Jesus explained to Paul in more concrete terms what it meant by to open their eyes. This is verse 18. And from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. To make people believe in Jesus so that they can receive forgiveness of their sins and belong as sanctified holy children of God, this is what Jesus does by making people open their eyes. In one word, he lets them open their eyes to Jesus himself, the Messiah. If you open your eyes to Jesus, who came not for righteous ones, but to save sinners, you become aware that you are a sinner. If you open your eyes to Jesus, who died on the cross as an offering in order to pay for men's sins and live again 3 days later, you come to know that only Jesus is the Messiah for you. If you open your eyes to Jesus, who is the light, you realize that you have been locked away in the prison of darkness all this while. If you open your eyes to Jesus, who is the truth, you understand that you had been a slave of Satan. If you open your eyes to Jesus, who is the Holy Son, you can discern that you have become a holy child of God in Jesus. If you open your eyes to Jesus, who lived again, destroying the power of death that brings extinction to all, you can live as his huperetos and martyrs in all situations. This is so because by regarding yourself objectively with the eyes of Jesus, you can clearly confirm that even if you were to die, you will live again in 3 days. And if you die, you will really live again as a new being in 3 days. As we examined last Sunday, this follows the same logic by which Jesus, having taken an objective view of himself, the Messiah, through the eyes of God, was able to take on the cruel death on the cross with his entire body that the disciples refused to entertain even in thought. Jesus gave this precious calling of opening the eyes of people of the world to Paul, whom he called out in grace. Now Jesus spoke the following parable in Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? Yes, that is absolutely true. A blind person cannot lead another blind person. A person who leads a blind person should be someone who can see. In order for Paul to carry out the holy calling of making people to see, Paul first had to become someone who can see. In other words, in order for Jesus to use Paul as his hyperetes and martus, Jesus first had to open the eyes of Paul. Paul, who fell to the ground surrounded by the light of Jesus on the way to Damascus, stood up according to the command of Jesus to get up and stand on your feet. However, he could no longer see. He lost his sight. Just a minute ago, he had been marching proudly towards Damascus, but now he was barely able to enter Damascus led by hands of others because he could not see. And Paul, who decided to stay at the home of Judah, which was located on one of the streets of Damascus, could not see or eat or drink for 3 days. After 3 days, Jesus made Ananias of Damascus to visit Paul and pray for him. The Acts chapter 9, verses 17 to 19 describes the situation. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you are coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. As I said before, Saul is Paul's former name. When Ananias laid his hands on Paul and prayed for Paul, he could see again and eat again. What is important is that at that moment, something like scales fell from Paul's eyes. All this while, these scales-like things were covering Paul's eyes, but he was not aware of this fact at all. And how could eyes that are covered with scale-like things see anything clearly? This was the scale of sin that blocked the relationship between Jesus and Paul. With the eyes that were covered with scale-like things, Paul could not see or possibly know Jesus. What Paul could do with such eyes is to deny Jesus and persecute the church. Therefore, that Paul was able to see again due to the prayer of Ananias did not simply mean recovery of physical sight. It signified that Paul, who had gotten rid of the scales of sin from his eyes due to the grace of Jesus, at last was able to open his eyes to Jesus, the Messiah. The Greek verb anablepo, which has been translated as see again, is a word made up of the word ana, which means above, and verb blepo, meaning to see. So it also has the meaning of to look up, to regard upwards. That Paul looked up to see Jesus, who had died as an offering on the cross to pay for his sins and lived again in 3 days later, destroying death. Further, he was able to regard himself objectively with the eyes of Jesus. He came to be certain that even if he dies while serving Jesus as his hyperetes and martus, He will live again in 3 days. And if he dies, he will surely, really, newly live. And so Paul, who came to open his eyes to Jesus, staked his life in order to live as Hyperetes and Martyrs of Jesus. After he opened his eyes to Jesus, who lived 3 days later, he could not see any way that would make his life more valuable than living, helping others to open their eyes as Hyperetes and Martyrs of Jesus. I ask for your understanding in talking about my personal experience, and those of you who take sleeping pills, I hope you will not misunderstand me. What I'm about to say applies strictly to myself only. After our church was founded, I was faced with severe slanders from individuals and organizations that had usurped Yanghwajin for private gains, or were jealous of our church and suffered insomnia every night as a result. The situation did not improve as the time went on, and I started using sleeping pills, which I had previously never used. In the beginning, I used them only on weekends in order to get some sleep for Sunday worship services. And 4 years ago, when I went through cancer surgery, a part of my bladder had to be removed, and I had to go to the bathroom 7 times a night, and as a result, could not sleep at all. So I had to take the sleeping pills every night. I ended up not being able to sleep at all without the sleeping pills. It really bothered me that I had to depend on sleeping pills to sleep every night, but realistically, there seemed to be no other way, and taking the sleeping pill became a routine for me. It was the night of September 29, 2015. Before I went to bed, I became very dizzy, as if the house was spinning around. Such dizziness occurs very, very rarely for me, but when it happens, it takes quite a bit of time for me to recover. I thought under such circumstances, it was not appropriate to take sleeping pills that would induce sleepiness. For the first time, I went to bed without taking the sleeping pill, and of course, I was not able to sleep. When I couldn't sleep even after 2 a.m., I got up to take the sleeping pill. It was dark as the lights were not on, but I was very familiar with the room. So I went to the dresser where the pills were and opened a drawer in the dark. And just as I was about to take out the pill from the container, by chance I experienced stepping outside of myself to see me with the eyes of a third party. The way I looked when I looked from outside of myself with the eyes of a third party, how I had forcefully gotten up, opened a drawer in complete darkness, and was taking out the sleeping pill, which is classified as narcotic. It was, without a doubt, an appearance of a drug addict. It was no different than when I had lived as if I were an alcoholic. I put down the container for the sleeping pill, closed the drawer, and went back to bed. And from that night, I was freed from the sleeping pill and the oppressiveness of insomnia. After that day, for 1 year and 4 months, I sleep regularly each night without taking the sleeping pill, as if I had never suffered. I had never suffered insomnia. Now, merely by regarding myself objectively with the eyes of a third person, even I, who is no one special, was able to correct not being able to sleep without relying on sleeping pills each night. If so, then why wouldn't our lives be renewed fundamentally in Jesus, who has lived after 3 days, if we live with our eyes open to Jesus, who has lived again in 3 days? The sanctification discipline through words and prayers are also done in order that we can daily regard ourselves objectively with the eyes of Jesus, who has lived again after 3 days. Only those who are able to see themselves objectively through the gaze of Jesus, who has lived after 3 days, can know that life is nothing but death, and death, to the contrary, is life. Only those who are able to regard themselves objectively with the gaze of Jesus, who lived again 3 days later, can turn towards the light, escaping the darkness. Only those who are able to regard themselves objectively with the gaze of Jesus, who has lived again 3 days later, can live as a holy child of God and no longer as a slave of Satan. Only those who are able to regard themselves objectively with the gaze of Jesus, who lived again 3 days later, can stake their lives in living as hyperetes and martyrs of Jesus. Only those who regard themselves objectively with the gaze of Jesus, who lived again 3 days later, know for certain that even if they die, they will live 3 days later, and when they die, they will really come to live anew. Jesus, who took off the scales of sin from Paul's eyes so that he can open his eyes to Jesus, is at this hour with us. Jesus of the cross has already taken away the scales of sin from our eyes that had blocked the relationship between him and us. Let us now gaze directly upon Jesus, who has lived again 3 days later, with the eyes that are freed from scales. Let us live as hyperetes and martyrs of Jesus, who opens the eyes of people in the world who do not know darkness as darkness, as we regard ourselves objectively with the gaze of Jesus. There is no life that is more new than living to open the eyes of the others in the world with the eyes that are open to Jesus, who has lived 3 days later. A new year and a new day is never just given. Our new year and a new day starts at last from the moment we open our eyes to Jesus, who has lived again 3 days later. Let us pray. Jesus has already taken away the scales of sin that had covered our eyes by becoming an offering on the cross. Even so, like spiritually blind persons, we failed to sense the darkness when we were in darkness and did not even realize we were slaves to Satan, even though we lived under the shackles of Satan. We truly thank you for allowing us to understand our foolishness and ignorance through today's words. Help all of us as Christians saved with the precious blood on the cross. As Christians saved on the precious blood on the cross should, gaze directly upon Jesus, who has lived again 3 days later, with the eyes that have been cleared of scales of sin. Every day, help us to live while regarding ourselves objectively with the gaze of Jesus, who has lived again 3 days later. In Jesus, who has lived again 3 days later, in 3 days, help us to live as preparators and martyrs of Jesus, who help people to open their eyes. May each of our days, which are lived with the eyes opened wide to Jesus, who has lived 3 days later, become weaved into eternal days that never disappear or fade away. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.